we might otherwise have conscientiously and credibly raised.
Well, the other problem is that these other issues don't even get attention because we're too focused on Iraq, you know. And we don't have the time or the energy to even think about.
This is the Quality News Network. Investors are still reeling from Wall Street's plunge yesterday, the steepest since 9/11. The Dow Jones tumbled more than 400 points. Today, the federal government issues a couple of important economic indicator reports. Market analysts are holding their breaths. Stock markets in Europe and Asia continue to fall this morning, spooked by reports of an economic slowdown in the U.S. and China. Four more U.S. soldiers died in Iraq yesterday. Three were killed by a roadside bomb in southwest Baghdad. One was killed in a small village 80 miles south of the capital. In Sri Lanka, government troops today intensified attacks against Tamil Tiger rebels. Authorities say they've killed at least 18. Yesterday, the Tigers shelled a group of diplomats at the airport. Envoys from Italy, Germany, and the U.S. were wounded. In London, human rights agencies are asking the White House to reveal the whereabouts of 38 people abducted in the CIA's so-called rendition program. Reuters reports many Europeans consider the clandestine kidnapping and imprisonment of suspects one of the most controversial aspects of the White House war on terror. In Washington, President Bush and 36 Republican senators have vowed to kill important 9/11 anti-terror legislation if the measure includes permission for airport baggage screeners to unionize. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff compared baggage screeners to troops on the front lines of a war, noting that Marines and soldiers are not permitted to form unions, and therefore neither should airport workers. In San Diego, the Roman Catholic Diocese filed for bankruptcy just hours before it was scheduled today to go to court in the first of 140 sexual abuse lawsuits. The order to shield its assets from those who claim they were sexually abused by Catholic priests. In Paris, several Picasso paintings and etchings were stolen last night from the house of Picasso's granddaughter. The artwork is valued at more than $100 million. Gold is trading at $677 an ounce on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business and science are next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
A hailstorm at Cape Canaveral yesterday pummeled the space shuttle, damaging it badly enough for NASA officials to cancel its March 15th launch date. NASA says it will take at least until April to make necessary repairs. Federal weather forecasters say the La Nina weather pattern now developing may mean an active Atlantic hurricane season this year. Historically, a La Nina means less rain in the south, a mild spring and summer in the north, and fewer hurricanes in the Pacific Ocean. Airbus will meet with worker unions today to announce it plans to eliminate 10,000 jobs in four European countries. Blockbuster reported a 28% decline in quarterly earnings, primarily due to the costs associated with development of its online rental businesses. The video company says adjusted quarterly earnings were $20.4 million. The country's largest natural gas pipeline company posted a quarterly loss of $175 million. El Paso says the loss is a result of the costs associated with the sale of pipeline capacity. Light sweet crude is trading at $60.85 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Silver is trading at $14.49 an ounce. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, everybody, wake the hell up. Come on. Come on. Move it. Get moving. Come on. You out there on the West Coast, it's 7 o'clock, damn it. If you ain't up by now, you ain't trying. You ain't trying. And if you're on the East Coast, that means you're sleeping on your job, which I'm actually happy with. You go ahead and do that. Sleep on the job. Slack off. Quit your job if you don't like it. Damn it. That's the way I feel these days because we're being treated like crap so much. As far as I'm concerned, we should take advantage of everything you can. How is everybody doing today? I am Joe Vecchio, and I am the voice of the working man's thinking man. I am the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Welcome once again to another episode of the Cup of Joe Radio Show, and we're beginning another fine day of programming here at the Head On Radio Network. Agnes is there on the boards to take your phone calls. The number to call in, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And you can listen to Agnes's lovely voice. And she will do everything she can in a non-sexual way to help out. Like like the song Alice's Restaurant by Arlo Guthrie. For you young kids who may have never heard that, is one of the lines is, you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant, to which Arlo would sometimes add, excepting Alice. So you can get anything you want here at the Head On Radio Network, excepting Agnes. So Bob can be had. Bob Kincaid can be had for a cheap price. I know that. John Fox can be had, but you have to travel to Australia. He's very strict about that. I can be had very cheaply, but I'm not easy, ladies and gentlemen. I'm cheap, but I'm not easy. Just want to let everybody know that. yesterday, and it just goes to show how my head is up my butt so much, we did have an election here in Chicago. And by the way, it's very nice out, by the way. It's like 31 degrees. There's still a little snow on the ground, but the temperature is going up. 30 degrees is actually quite comfortable. But at any rate, we had an election yesterday. It was local races, the mayor, city clerk, alderman, and I'd never heard the term alderman before, and I really kind of like it. I like, you know, and I really haven't gotten into Chicago politics that much yet, because I've been concentrating on you know, trying to find work and working when I do have work and all that stuff. And, you know, the show and my other stuff that I do. But I really love the machine. The idea of the whole machine, I love that. A big political, you know, Tammany Hall like project. They are corrupt as hell. I know. Tammany Hall was, but you know something, Tammany Hall did stuff for people. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah, they were vicious. They were vicious bastards, and their leaders deserve to go to jail in the long run. But unlike the Republican Party and their machine politics, Tammany Hall actually did something to affect people's lives in a very, very direct way, and in very often in a very positive way. So sometimes it's a trade-off, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't necessarily like it, but sometimes that's just the way it is. But anyway, we did have an election yesterday. Mayor Daley won with something like 71% of the vote. 70%? And this was like his sixth term, which is a record. And according to the Chicago Tribune, if he completes his term of office this time, and whether he'll run again, we don't know, but if he completes his term of office this time, he will actually have served more years than his father did. And his father was a very famous mayor, infamous and famous, because his father was the mayor who was mayor in 1968. I think he used the police are not here to create disorder, they are here to preserve disorder or something like that, during the 1968 Democratic National Convention, where a lot of heads got busted, which I wish sometimes we would start taking to the streets to do to the right-wingers, you know. Like I wish to protest. Here's one example. Here is one example where I really wish people would go out there with some baseball bats and start cracking skulls. Because this, to me, is utterly and totally disgraceful. And I forget where it was. The College Republicans, some of the biggest scum you'll ever find on the planet, they had a little thing going on at one college, and I forget which college it was. Forgive my crappy memory. But they had a thing going on called Find the Illegal Immigrant, where they had one guy that had a tag on it that said Illegal Immigrant. And if you found him and brought him back to wherever, you got like, you know, $100 or so, whatever. And it's such an obvious racist thing. And it was an editorial about it in the New York Times talking about how disgraceful this was. And these are young Republicans, college Republicans, ladies and gentlemen, who are perfectly fit to go in the military. And if they've got time for these stupid games, they've got time to go to the Army Recruitment Office, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force. They've got time to do that. But because they're a bunch of cowardly scum who talk big about war but don't go out and fight it, they're not going to do that. Now, when they announced it, more protesters actually showed up than people participated in this. What I wish is that those protesters would have showed up with baseball bats and started cracking some damn skulls. Because you know something? That's what these people deserve. Break their damn kneecaps. Give them a reason not to go into the service, if you know what I'm saying. Because I'm telling you, if you sit there and you talk about this great war on terror and how wonderful it is and how important it is, and you're able to go out there and join the service and fight, and you don't, then you're nothing but a damn coward, and you ought to keep your mouth shut, and you ought to go back to your parents' basements and hide there. You know, during World War II, ladies and gentlemen, if you were an able-bodied young man, and you appeared out in public without a uniform, if you were lucky, you only got dirty looks. And there were people back then who were attacked. I know this from what my father told me and from other of my relatives who were around at that time told me. You go out, if you know, during World War II, you were expected, ladies and gentlemen, to go out and serve your country because everybody recognized that it was something for the greater good. Now, I'm against this war. If I was of age, and I've already served, ladies and gentlemen, so don't give me any crap about that, okay? I'm an Air Force veteran and Army Reserve before I was in the Air Force. Dang it, now I lost my train of thought. See, you get angry and that happens to you. But yeah, if you were out there and you weren't in uniform, you were just treated like crap because you were expected to sacrifice. Believe in this stupid war on terror, then you should go out there and you should do the sacrifice. I don't give a damn what you've got going on. I don't care what classes you're taking or whether or not you're just trying to hit up on a new girlfriend or something like that. I don't give a damn. Screw you. Sign up. Sign up. Don't make the, you know, in Patton's speech, in the George C. Scott movie Patton, and he gives that speech at the beginning. And he's talking about all the guys that are going to go out to war, and he's saying, you know, at least after this, when you get home, you won't have to say, when your kid asks you what you did in the Great War, you don't have to say, I shoveled crap in Louisiana. So where were you during the Great War on Terror, Daddy? Well, you know, I sat at my keyboard and insulted liberals. That's the extent of it, ladies and gentlemen. And these people ought to be ashamed of themselves. They ought to be verbally abused at the very least. And I'm a very verbally abusive guy, ladies and gentlemen, as some of you probably can tell. And as much as I believe in peaceful protest, in doing things the right way and doing things the political way, there are occasions, ladies and gentlemen, where you gotta take the bull by the horns. All the labor rights, all the rights that we fought and that we have today, that we take for granted, the rights that allow scumbags like the Young Republicans and the Rush Limbaughs and all that to scroot their to put their scroot, what the hell kind of word is scroot, to put their views on the air. Those came because people fought and died for it. And far as the labor movement is concerned, we got a lot of the labor stuff we got because people went out to the streets and cracked skulls. Yeah, the laws came later, but if they didn't go out there and crack skulls, the laws never would have came in the first place. We got a Beatles break coming up here. I want to know what you want to think about this. If you want to scream against the Young Republicans or the College Republicans or wherever, give me a call. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. There's nothing pisses me off more than that. Nothing pisses. You say you want to go to war, then you go to war. You think this war is a great thing, you sign up, you little cowards. You little scum. We'll be back. The Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important, since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
All right, we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in, 1-877-443-2366, 2366-1877-4 head on. If you want to email me, my email address is joe@cupjoe.com, C-U-P-J-O-E.com. And my personal blog is cupojoe.blogspot.com. And you can read about the things that I have to say, the letter to the New York Times that I mentioned. And you can also go on if you want to talk to the people in our chat room, in the Head On Radio chat room. Just go to headonnetwork.com and go to the, scroll it down to a little bit and to the right, you'll see a thing for chat, and you can get there and talk on the talk to some of the smartest people on the internets. My good friend Ray Hinckley out there was, and I mentioned the shoveling crap in Louisiana, and Ray delivers pizzas for a living, and he wanted me to tell everybody that he is shoveling crap there in Louisiana, because that's where he lives. So good luck to you, Ray. Ray, I've done that. I've been there. I'm with you, buddy. I used to deliver pizzas. And, you know, one of the things I learned very quickly delivering pizzas is that rich people worth a crap. It's always the poor people that tip, which is probably why they're poor all the time. Maybe it's because poor people don't place don't obsess about money so much, because they're not used to having it, and when they do have it, they want to spread it around a little bit. And they say, well, you know, you should penny pinch, you should save and all that, and that's really nice. But you know what? Rich people do that to such a great extent that they don't enjoy themselves. The stock market dropped yesterday, apparently. And you know what I say? Who gives a damn? Who gives a damn? Since when does the stock market actually reflect what daily life is like for the American worker? The stock market has gone through the damn roof. It's up. It's still up to like 12,000, some ungodly number. And I don't know enough about economics to know what's good. But I remember under Clinton, when it went up past 10,000, everybody was talking about, oh my God, this is so wonderful, and blah 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 blah. You know, how does that affect you, ladies and gentlemen? The stock market went through the roof. How was your paycheck? Did that go through the roof? I bet you not. I bet your ass it didn't. And all this Bush talking about these tax cuts. You know, when Bush first got in office in 2000, I told people, and I've said the story before, and damn it, I'll say it again. I told people, hang on to a check stub from right at this point, from December of 2000, right after the election. Hang on to it. Then, 4 years later, when election comes up, look at that check stub, and then look at a current check stub, a check stub from August, September 2004, just before the election, and you'd see if you're paying any more or less taxes than you were in 2000. Your taxes didn't really change that much, did it? They certainly didn't go down as dramatically as they did for massive corporations and for those people who have more money than they know what to do with anyway. And whether the stock market went up 1,000 points or down 1,000 points, it didn't really affect you, did it? It didn't. And now look at your current pay stub now. Are you paying any more taxes or less under this administration than you were 6 years ago? I bet your ass you're not. Your taxes have probably gone up, and your living expenses have gone up. Don't tell me they haven't. Gas is, you know, since Bush took over, gas has almost tripled in price. And if you don't think that affects people, that affects people. Sue in the chat room is telling us, you know, that we are in a depression right now. And you know something I really don't know, to be perfectly honest. I'm not enough of an expert to say. I just know that things suck for working people right now. It really, really, really sucks. My former landlord down in Decatur, Georgia, he was a manager of a car rental place, okay? That's not necessarily where he works, but he was a manager of a shop, and so he was on salary. And this man was working 70 hours a week, and he wasn't getting any more money from it because he was salary. He was the manager, right? But the money he was making was barely enough for him to get by. My current roommate, who I like a lot, Chicago native, although he's he moved away from Chicago for a while and just recently moved back. He's working very hard, and yet he's barely getting enough money to pay the rent. And we're not exactly paying a ton of money for rent here. Me, I've been out of work for two out of the last 3 years. It's a bloody miracle that I'm not out in the street somewhere, and that I hadn't, you know, that I hadn't been dead or something, of living in the cold or overheat in Atlanta or something. It's a miracle. Well, maybe not a miracle, but it's damn odd. And it's only because I managed to, you know, just manage somehow to scrape enough together in some way, shape, or form, beg, borrow, or steal, to either keep the rent paid or just, you know, had a landlord, like my former landlord, the guy who worked so hard, he was very nice because he knew what was going on with my wife when my wife was very sick and I was spending pretty much every day at the hospital. He understood what was going on, so he just basically let me slide on rent. I still owe him for that. God knows when I'll be able to pay him back. I would really love, you know, if someone were to give me like $50,000, you know, just have it. Just here you go, take it, $50,000. And this is not a solicitation, ladies and gentlemen. This is a what if, okay? If someone were to just give me that kind of money, do you know what a difference it would make in my life right now? I could pay off some of this stuff and have enough money so that I don't have to stress about, you know, what I'm going to eat or whether I'm going to have enough money to eat. Or whether if I miss a day of work that it's going to cost me just enough money to not be able to pay my rent and bills. And $50,000, you think, wow, that's a lot of money. Ladies and gentlemen, that's nothing. That's nothing. When you have a situation where the government shipped, what was it, 35 tons of money? 35 tons of $100 bills? Which is something like $3.5 billion to Iraq, and it just got missing. Nobody can account for it. $50,000 is nothing. And all of us here who work so hard at the Head-On Radio Network, we understand this. If you were to give each and every one of us who works on the Head-On Network, and yes, Bob and Agnes individually, because even though they work as a team, they still work. They work very hard. Do you realize what a difference that would make to all of us in our lives? The John Fox, the Jeff Allen Wolf, the Bruce Birch. Maybe not Dr. Bill O'Brien. I think he's a well-paid. But still, that would make a big difference in his life. I have one vice, ladies and gentlemen. My one vice is that I like to eat out. And when I say I like to eat out, I don't mean I like to go out and spend $300 at a fancy French restaurant. No, no. I like to order Chinese. Spend anywhere between 10 and 15 bucks on Chinese food. Or maybe order pizza out or order something out. Or I don't want to say some of the big corporations because I try to avoid that, but I'll go to the Hot Rod Grill here. Which is a really, really nice little local diner on Western Avenue on the east side between Granville and Rosemont, right across from the Family Dollar. I can get a nice breakfast there for like $8. Omelet, potatoes, sausage, and something to drink. $8. And I don't have to eat lunch because it's a huge omelet. Great place. It's one of those local places where you look at it, you think it's either got to be really, really good or really, really bad, right? But that's my big vice, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. I don't smoke. I don't drink drugs. I don't spend tons of money on internet porn, or any money on internet porn, for that matter. I get all my internet porn free, ladies and gentlemen. I got people, like they say in that commercial. I got people. But that's my biggest vice, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? I should be able to just go out and be able to pay my rent. And you know, I actually worked on my day job yesterday, first time in like 2 weeks. And what was funny is they called me in for a review, and I actually got a small raise. And I was just laughing. I was like, oh yeah, 13 cents an hour. You know, when I'm still working, you know, 5 hours a week, that's gonna make a huge difference, boy. Because that's really all I've been working. I worked 6 hours yesterday, and that's more than I've worked for the last 3 weeks there, ladies and gentlemen. Agnes is telling me to stay away from those sites. Well, you know, Agnes, I hate to tell you this, but the internet is for porn. There's a great, if you go on YouTube and type that in, the internet is for porn, there's called that, and it's really, really funny. It's a girl singing about how the wonderful the internet is, and you know, oh, I love the internet, and the internet is such a lovely place. And there's a guy in the background going, "For porn." For every sentence she says, it's always for porn. And she's like, "Well, wait a minute. I know you. You know you. You go. You sell stuff on eBay. That's true. And you do this and that. That's true. You check your taxes. That's true. Yeah, but what do you think they do afterwards? Ow, you're sick. You're all sick." I shouldn't get off on these tangents, ladies and gentlemen. My point is, the stock market doesn't mean a damn thing. And then I really went off the topic on that, didn't I? Good Lord, listening to me is like word association. It just kind of... Whew. You got anything to say about this? Give me a call, 1-877-443-2366. Send me an email, joe@cupjoe.com. And head on into the chat room. Head on radionetwork.com. And click on the chat room link. Bottom of the hour, halfway through. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Quad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others, reach out, and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha!
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Oh, yeah, look at that. Oh, sorry. Damn it, I meant to do that and I screwed up. I meant to do it like I was looking at internet porn during the thing, and I screwed it up. Damn it, this is why I don't get the big money, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to do a whole thing kind of like Chevy Chase used to do on Saturday Night Live. They'd start out when he was doing Weekend Update. He'd come in on the phone and say, no. No, baby, it's just an expression. You don't really blow on it. Oh, I got to go. Start the news. Let's just get to the phones. Our good friend who's shoveling crap in Louisiana, Ray, is on line one. Hey, Ray, how you doing?
Hey, Joe. Doing fine. Just thought I'd give you a call. You know, you're talking about the stock market. The stock market is gone mad. I mean, I remember working in radio back in the 70s when it broke 1,000, and they thought that was, the turning point. This is the end. No place else to go.
The 1,000 was a good number?
Well, that was back in the 70s.
I don't understand what it means, but everybody talks about it. I really don't understand,
It's got a rating, basically, showing the stability of it and how well it's doing and so forth. But the whole thing is that there's so much profiteering coming off of contracts, off of, government-supported businesses like the military.
Right.
It's just killing the rest of it.
Well, let me see if I can understand this the right way, because I remember what little history I know about the economics, or what little I can understand, because economics has never been my strong point. From what I understand happened during the Great Depression was that the stock market went up because people were essentially fixing the system. Is that correct? Is that pretty much what's going on today?
I don't know, Joe. I'm not that old.
Well, I'm sure you read about it like I did.
I didn't read. I was lousy.
But it's fixed. Is fixing the system what's going on today? That's what I'm curious about.
I really don't know. It's just that it's being fixed, basically, because there's so much profit in everything going on. I was saying on the internet or in the chat room that the stock market is a casino for the rich.
Yeah, it's basically gambling, isn't it?
Pardon?
It's basically gambling, isn't it?
It is. You're encouraged to invest and, take your losses and take your win and hope you win.
And, of course, some people have a vested interest.
Oh yeah,
in all that. I mean, fixing the system is what I mean. They have a vested interest in fixing it to their benefit.
Sure, and if they can do it without anybody knowing about it, great.
Doesn't this put the lie to all that trickle down crap? I mean, if the stock market's gone through the roof, shouldn't it have really helped the middle class workers? But it hasn't, has it?
It would if they were reinvesting in their own people, in their own you do all this work, like production and everything is up, yet wages are down,
right?
Except for the rich, except for the owners.
Right.
Why should they be getting 400 times what the average person is making?
And what were they doing in the 70s? Something like 30 times or 40 times more? I mean, still more.
That was considered, bad in those days, high in those days.
Right.
And now we just, we're so numb, we can't even do anything about it. If you quit work or go on strike, they say, well, we'll just send the plant down to Mexico.
Right. And that's what happened when I was working at Siemens in Atlanta, in Tucker, Georgia, their assembly plant there. They shut down and moved it to Mexico. And people who had been working there 20, 30 years, they didn't know what to do with themselves. They had some of them didn't have enough money to retire. They'd been working there for like 9, 10 years, and they thought that was going to be their job. And they'd never been out of work. I mean, I'd been out of work so long, it didn't really affect me so much. I've lost so many jobs, I lost count of it. But a lot of these people just had no experience with that, and they were just scared.
Yeah, I can understand. I've been out of work pretty much for almost a year. Fortunately, I'm married. My wife, is a teacher, but the teaching situation is so bad.
Oh, sure, sure. And it's always those people, the most important people in our society, that get the short shaft when the budget comes.
Yeah, the people that make so much, we rely so much on teachers. you know, to train our children how to be smart and how to make money, yet we don't pay the teachers what they're worth.
Well, Ray, you know the answer to that is that the fact that the Republicans hate an educated population, and if they want to teach, they want to propagandize them. They don't.
You know, also we can't get paid what we're worth because we're protected by minimum wage. Now, wait, that doesn't sound good. But anyway, just thought I'd add my two cents.
Well, sure, that's all great. Protected. I'm still trying to understand what you mean by that, but I think maybe you mean that because they say, well, that's
people
the minimum, and therefore,
yeah. You're protected by minimum wage.
Well,
that's not good.
You know, everybody knows minimum wage is a joke anyway. I mean, I don't know how many people actually make minimum wage.
I'm making minimum wage.
Yeah. Well, you get your tip money too, of course. But
yeah.
I bet you if you deliver to, I bet you have the same experience that I do. The richer the place you go, the lower the tip, isn't it?
You're right. They think that you're making more money than you deserve.
And the poor people always dish it out.
Right.
We're too nice. We're too nice.
I don't know. Let me let you go, Joe.
Well,
enjoy your chat.
All right, thanks. Thanks a lot, Ray.
Sure. Bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Ray Hinckley, who's a regular in our chat room. He's there every morning for me and for some of the other shows, and again, just go to headonradionetwork.com and click on the chat room thing. You know, ladies and gentlemen, and unfortunately, here's the deal with a lot of this stuff. A lot of times, we're our own worst enemy. And I keep ragging about the South, and I hate to do that because I know there's some wonderful people down there like Ray and like our good friend Sarge. But the truth of the matter is that they keep themselves down because they have this crazy idea that working together and standing up for yourself is somehow wrong, it's against God, it's communist, whatever. Whatever their stated reasons are, the fact of the matter is they're hurting themselves. And Digby talks about how the reason why they continue to do that is because a lot of the politics that revolve around them are tribal. So long as you can identify yourself as part of their tribe, and of course in order to do that you have to show the proper hatred for liberals and communists and whoever, anybody who's not them, then they're going to get your vote regardless of the fact that most of the people they're voting for are basically stealing from them. And to paraphrase something Agnes was telling me here in the chat room, minimum wage is not minimum survival. Minimum wage is you can't live on minimum wage. You can't even really survive on minimum wage with rents the way they are. Are you kidding me? And look what one of the things that I heard on the news, they're going to threaten a bill to veto a bill. The president is going to veto a bill dealing with security, because it has a clause that says it allows baggage claim handlers and other airport workers can unionize. And say, well, you can't have them unionize because they're soldiers on the front line? Because they're soldiers? Are you kidding me? Any excuse, ladies and gentlemen, any excuse to not pay people the wages they deserve and to build the shareholder-based society that they're already building, because all the only people that get affected by the stock market are people whose main income comes from the shares that they hold. Raise tips don't go up or down based upon what the stock market is. The only way you're going to get a better salary, ladies and gentlemen, and the only way you have any power is in a group. Because it's easy for a boss to fire one person if they can replace you and not face any consequences. It's much more difficult if they fire you and everybody walks off the job, because they understand the dirty little secret is that without us, and I'm going to keep hammering this point, ladies and gentlemen, because the Rushes and the Bortzes and all the other jerks on the right-wing radio propagandize you against it. Without you, ladies and gentlemen, without you going out there and doing your thing every single day, day in and day out, week in and week out, for too little money, for too little vacation time, they couldn't make a dime without you. Ladies and gentlemen, if this radio show ever gets big enough, I'm going to call for a general strike for 1 month. Nobody go to work, unless you work in an extremely important field, like in a hospital or a police or fire department, something like that. But Damn it, I wish I could tell everybody to just not go to work for 1 month. Nobody work. Nobody work. And we'll see how well this country runs. Ray mentioned the productivity, how productive we are. I hate that term, productivity, ladies and gentlemen, because a productivity index to me is only, it only indicates how much they're stealing from you. Yeah, I know, Agnes. People get testy when we lose 1 day of work. Well, you know what? I survived for 2 out of the last 3 years. People can take 1 month. Motor of the world, I want to show people who the motor of the world. You are the motor of the world, ladies and gentlemen. And when you start realizing that standing up for yourself is not communist. Oh, I see what you're talking about. Then you miss one show. Well, you know, damn it, if it meant better wages for workers, and I'll be back on the air in a month, and I'll be very happy for that. At any rate, let's take our last break here. Let's pay some bills. And we'll be back with the last part of the Cup of Joe radio show here on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Believe the environment is issue number one. Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. Last 10 minutes or so, and Agnes was saying, oh, my God, we take 2 weeks off. Everybody goes crazy. Take one day off, Sue says. Everybody goes crazy. Okay, I'll tell you what. If there's a general strike, we'll stay on the air to report on it. Okay? Will that make everybody happy? Because I think that's an important thing for us to do. The manufacturing jobs that were the bread and butter, the core of America's economy, ladies and gentlemen, have gone away. And you know what? There are a lot of people who are going to think, well, you know, we should blame the Mexicans for it, you know, because they're coming and stealing our jobs. No, ladies and gentlemen, that's what the right wing wants you to believe. Okay? They want to take that anger that you have over your situation and foist it on the people who have no control over what's really going on. Don't blame the Mexicans. Don't blame the Chinese. Don't blame the Vietnamese. Because they are people just like you, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, their culture is different. They have different ways of, you know, dealing with family and religion and other issues. And that's fine. Everybody's got a little diversity. But the point of the matter is they are just like you and me. They are no different. They want the same for themselves as you want for yourself. They want to be able to earn a living, support themselves and their families, and leave something better for their kids. And for the working class, that's really mostly what we want. And because most of us have no ambitions above and beyond that, we can be easy fodder for those who do have ambitions and whose lives revolve around how much money and how much power and how many people they can control. Guys like George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. Maybe not Bush so much. I don't think Bush really gives a damn one way or the other. I think he's just along for the ride. He's still an evil SOB who ought to be in jail because he's still the one who's responsible. But it's the Cheneys and the guys like Rumsfeld, and these guys, they just want power, and they want power and money, and they're never going to be satisfied. They're never going to be satisfied with what they've got. I've got $2 trillion. I'm not happy until I get four. And you get $4 trillion, I want to get eight. And they think there's something wrong with themselves if they don't get that, if they don't do that. And to continue on the stock market, beat the stock market doesn't mean a damn thing to you and me, ladies and gentlemen. It only means a thing to the people who belong to what George W. Bush calls the ownership society, which basically means they own you. If you work for a living, they own you. And it doesn't matter whether you make minimum wage or a six-figure, seven-figure salary. You know, and the reason why the media is so bad is because we get our news mostly from people who are in the shareholder society, who have enough money. As I've mentioned time and time again, ladies and gentlemen, when back in the 40s and 50s and stuff, most people got their news from newspapers before, you know, television and radio were huge in that way for the news. And the average beat reporter working for these newspapers didn't make any more or less than everybody else did. Yeah, there were a few columnists that made a bunch of money, granted. But for the most part, the news was written by people who lived in the same economic bracket as the readers did. Nowadays, most people get their news from radio and television. Especially they get a lot of their opinion from radio. And they get their opinion from people who make millions of dollars a year. What did Limbaugh make last year? $40-45 million? Or $4.5 million, whatever, however the hell much it makes, it's way too much, in my opinion, but, you know, I don't have any control over that. And he makes a lot of money to sucker people into thinking that the rugged individualism crap is going to help you, because I'll tell you something, by yourself, you're powerless. Boss has a bad hair day, happens to see you standing. You've been working for 3 hours straight. Excuse me, you've been working for 6 hours straight. You stand up for 1 second to stretch your back. Boss sees you not sitting down. You're fired. You're gone. You think it hasn't happened? You think it won't happen? Meaning the bosses care one way or another? Some of them don't. and the Rushes and the Bortzes and all the others of the world, they want to make it easier. We were talking the other day about Senator Fred Thompson. Who was I talking to? I think I was talking to Carol Kay of Make That Accountable. And by the way, she'll be here on Friday, as always, for the Week in Review. MakeThemAccountable.com. And we were talking about Senator Fred Thompson from Tennessee, who is an actor who's appeared in a bunch of movies and some TV shows. And he was one of the leading Republican scum fighting against workers. And I remember I was telling her about the part that he played on Roseanne, where he played the manager of the plastic shop in the first season, where she was working at the plastic shop. And the story is very simple, and I'll get to it very quickly. But basically, he played a manager who raised the quota up for production to some number, and I will say 8,000, I think it was, which was very high, and it was driving everybody crazy because they had to take a lot of extra time to do it, and then everybody was working hard, and everybody was miserable. And Roseanne went to talk to the guy, and you know, because Roseanne was the outspoken person on the show that she is in real life, and good for her. He said, well, listen, you toe the line a little bit and I'll lower the quota down. And she reluctantly agreed to it, and he lowered the quota, and then a few weeks later he raised it right back up again to 8,000. And Roseanne went there and says, what the hell are you doing? Why are you doing this? And he's like, because I shut you up and now everybody else will fall into line. So you know, if you want to keep your paycheck, you'll just do what I tell you. And the character of Roseanne had like 10, 12 years invested in that plant. And so she just quit. She and her sister and a bunch of her friends just walked out right that minute. And then Fred Thompson goes and gets elected senator and starts helping out managers like that, making it more difficult for fictional characters like that, in that sense, because obviously it's fiction, but it's still. Fred Thompson went out and made it easier for managers to do stuff like that. And he probably laughed about it all the way to the bank. Had a big old laugh. And ladies and gentlemen, they're working against you. I talk about quitting your job. I talk about going on strike. I want you to show everybody. What I mean by that is I want you to show everybody who makes the money in this country. Who makes this country run? And I'm a big believer in work ethic. Anybody who's seen me work knows that I'm very, very serious about my work when I work. I don't BS around. Sometimes I don't take break. I don't think that's necessarily a bragging point, and it's not because I'm intentionally trying to prove that I'm tougher than anybody else. It's just because when I get caught up in something, I get caught up in something. I work very hard when I work, ladies and gentlemen. But I understand work ethic. And I understand that there's got to be a limit and there's got to be some reciprocation when people go above and beyond board. And ladies and gentlemen, when you go above and beyond the board, you do not get rewarded for it. The chairman of the AFL-CIO was talking about that. He said the difference between a union worker and a non-union worker is that a non-union worker naively believes that they will get rewarded for extra effort and for loyalty. They will not. Agnes is saying that, no, they get punished. You're right. You get punished. In the military, we have to saying, if you're good at something, they'll just make you do it more. If you're really good at something, you know how to get out of it. It's the story that my wife used to tell. She used to work for one of those, not a buffet, but not a deli. What the hell? The type where you go up and they have like a big row of food in your head. Anyway, she worked for a restaurant like that. I can't think of the right word for it. But her first job, she was a high school kid, so it wasn't like, you know, she was making a lot of money, or it was like a career, it was just earning extra money. Cafeteria style. Thank you, Agnes. Her job was she would roll the silverware. She'd take a knife, a fork, and a spoon, and she'd roll it up neatly in a napkin, and she'd stack it so that when, you know, people came in, they could take the silverware in a tray. You know? And then, you know, she would finish that, and she'd still have some time, and she noticed that, you know, somebody else was needing help, something. And she started doing that, and all of a sudden that became part of her job. Did she get more money for it? No. Then he started adding more. All right. We're getting ready to close out here. I could talk about my lovely wife all day if I wanted to, but we need to head out because Jeff Allen Wolf is coming up next on the Head On Radio Network. And again, I'm just the beginning of a wonderful lineup here at the Head On Radio Network. I want to thank Agnes Kincaid for doing such a wonderful job running the board. I want to thank all of my friends in the Head On chat room. I want to thank everybody listening on iTunes and from wherever you're listening, and especially if you're listening from work and taking an hour off of it, good for you. Good for you, damn it. Slack off. Slack off. You're getting stolen from. Steal some back, for crying out loud. I want to thank Ben Birch of the White Rose Society, whiterosesociety.org. And if you miss this show live, you can always go to the archives and listen to any of my shows dating back about 2 years, from the pre-recorded shows to the live shows on Head On Network. Oh, and they're all complimenting me in the producer chat room. Oh, you guys are going to swell my head, and I'm going to become a bigger jerk than I already am. Well, I hope you all have a good work day, and you take it easy. And I will be back again tomorrow. And again, my email, if you want to email me anything, joe@cupjoe.com, CUPJOE.com. I couldn't get cupojo.com.
You're listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network. You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Gore's Inconvenient Truth wins documentary Oscar. Gore's Oscar fuels call for his late run in the presidential race. Cheney asks Musharraf to fight al-Qaeda. Canada strikes down anti-terror law. Former UN envoy supports Iraq pullout. White House warns against Iraq pullout. California split. A shakeup in America's structure. Nation of Islam at a crossroad as leader exits. Mexican anger over U.S. trespass. Clinton sees role for husband. Senator tells San Francisco crowd the former president could be a diplomat. Clinton fights to keep impeachment taboo talk. Is Hillary afraid of being embarrassed by Bill? GOP is abandoning Bush. Well, not quite. I found the coffin of Jesus, says film producer. Libby jurors questioned about exposure. U.S. generals will quit if Bush orders Iran attack. This came into us, a strange story. U.S. military attempt arrest of Vice President Cheney. Three reported dead? We're checking on that. Duct tape tranquilizers part of NASA's plan for mentally unstable astronauts in space. Me, you can just use scotch. More of these stories up ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. Up next,